Welcome to the Red Letter Christians podcast. Red Letter Christians gets our name from the Bibles that highlight the words of Jesus in red. And we're aspiring to live as if Jesus meant the stuff he said. We know that the loudest, most prominent voices representing Christianity in America haven't always been the most beautiful or the most faithful voices. And we know that the way we change the narrative is by changing the narrators. We are committed to amplifying the voices of people who are dedicated to Jesus and to justice. How much longer will
justice be? Hello, everybody. This is Shane Claiborne. I'm so glad that you could listen in. It has been a power-packed weekend. I'm going to tell you all about it. We hosted a Gaza ceasefire pilgrimage, along with folks all over the world that have been walking roughly the length of Gaza. So I'm going to tell you all about that in just a minute. We were also arrested outside the largest weapons contractor in the world as we prayed for peace in Gaza. So we're going to talk about that. But I want to start by saying, if you're just tuning in for the first time, I like talking about my faith as a Christian and how it compels me to try to live differently in the world. As the book of Romans says, we are not to conform to the patterns of this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, to live with a new imagination. And as you read the Gospels, I don't know if you read the words of Jesus and the Gospels, the Sermon on the Mount, but there is an upside down nature to the kingdom of God, the reign of God that Jesus talks about, where the first are last, the last are first, the mighty are cast from their thrones, and the lowly are lifted up. Come on, somebody. God is turning the world upside down, or we might say turning it right side up, that we have created quite a mess of the world, and God is restoring all things. That's why it's a shame when the Christian faith is just used as an escape plan, as we often call it, fire insurance, right? To get out of hell and to get out of this world and go to heaven. I'm excited about life after death, but I'm also excited about life before death. And I think for far too long, Christians have used our faith as a ticket into heaven and an excuse to ignore the troubles of this world. So this is gets us right into what we've been up to, responding to the violence happening in real time in Gaza. We've now seen over 34,000, I think is the number now, lives lost, people killed in the last 170 or so days. Now, over 13,000 of those, close to 15,000 of those are children, baby, youth. And every single one of those is made in the image of God. So on October 7th, some 1,200 precious lives were lost, and the world rose up against the terrorism of Hamas. The world stood with Israel against the merciless slaughter of those 1,200 people and the 200 hostages that have been taken. And we cannot hesitate to stand against all forms of hatred and violence and terrorism. But what we also know is in the days since October 7th, we've watched the state of Israel pour out its wrath on the people of Gaza, killing many days 200 or more people. There are times when it's been one child every 10 minutes that's been killed. And they're using the Bible. Netanyahu and others are using the Bible as a weapon to justify their revenge. There comes a point where we have to say, two wrongs don't make a right. That's what my mama taught me. And scripture teaches us that you don't repay evil with evil. You overcome evil with good. It was Jesus even that challenged the notion of an eye for an eye, that we're to retaliate in the same way that someone's hurt us. And in the past 170 days or so, we've seen so many thousands of lives lost and thousands more that are missing under the rubble. The terrorized have become the response has been this horrific violence that actually mirrors the very terrorism that sparked it all. So we've got to stand against all this violence. If we're only lamenting the lives that were lost on October 7th and not the lives that have been lost since October 7th, we might want to do a little heart check, because every one of those babies in Gaza is just as precious, come on somebody, as the babies in Israel or in the United United States, and we are watching in real time a genocide, ethnic cleansing, live streamed on social media, and most of our leaders are silent, even complicit. We're even seeing new weapons deals being made to Israel from the United States. Now, recently, President Biden has said that he's outraged. His administration has said they're outraged at the lives that have been lost, but they are not outraged enough to stop giving Israel bombs and weapons. That's what we've got to recognize, that it is inaccurate to say that this is Israel's assault on Gaza. This is the United States and Israel's assault on Gaza. This genocide has been done with funds from the United States, money from the United States, with weapons made in the United States. And so that's why we were a part of this Holy Land pilgrimage, y'all. Friends of mine, Lisa Sharon Harper, Jared McKenna, all kinds of different groups around the world have been hosting these pilgrimages. So we're walking roughly 20 miles, 20 to 25 miles, the length of Gaza, calling for a permanent ceasefire. And we walked in Philadelphia over Holy Week from the Liberty Bell, our historic crack bell, which in itself is its own sermon. Liberty is cracked. We walked from the Liberty Bell to Lockheed Martin, which is just outside the city of Philadelphia. And it is literally the largest weapons contractor in the world. The planes dropping the bombs in Gaza are made at Lockheed Martin. So the U.S. gives Israel like $4 billion a year. And now we're looking at giving Israel even more money, despite the atrocities that we see them doing with that money. And Lockheed Martin makes billions more from weapon sales, from contracts. And these did not begin on October 7th. It's important that this is decades old. The complicity of U.S. funds and weapons being used to destroy the lives of Palestinians. Since the 1970s, Lockheed Martin has provided the F-16s and more recently the F-35 fighter jets that are used in Gaza. These are the planes dropping the bombs. In 5 years, Lockheed Martin gave 112 F-16s and 50 F-35s. And they've also built the missile launch systems, the M-270s, the Hellfire missile systems that have killed so many people. So in response to the recent assault on October 7th, the U.S. and Israel agreed on a new weapons package. This was 2 months into the genocide, that would supply even more of these F-35s and F-15s, as well as Apache helicopters, war helicopters. So Lockheed Martin has blood on its hands, and that was our message. They are making a killing off killing. They've turned war into a multi-billion dollar business enterprise. And there's an old saying, if you want to know how to stop violence, then figure out who's profiting from it. So that's why on our Holy Week peace pilgrimage, it was beautiful, by the way, y'all. We walked through all different neighborhoods. We had people join us. One Muslim family came out of an appointment and they just started walking with us. Then they invited us, 20 of us, to dinner with them. We had folks, you know, honking their horns, waving out windows in solidarity. People want to respond. They want to do something to stand in the way of this violence. And so that's what we did. And our message was simple. These walks are happening all over the world. And over 200 cities have had Gaza ceasefire pilgrimages. And they're on every continent, including Antarctica. Check this out, y'all. We used to say they're on every continent except Antarctica. And then check it out. Somebody in Antarctica said, I'm going to have a Gaza ceasefire pilgrimage, but it's like 40 degrees below zero. So I got to do an indoor pilgrimage. So they're walking 20 miles on a treadmill. That's what protest looks like in Antarctica. So we're doing it, y'all. And our message has been simple. It's fourfold. There were four main points. End the genocide. Release all the hostages. Let in the aid and stop giving them the weapons. So end the genocide. We need a permanent, lasting ceasefire. Stop the violence. Let in the aid. Collective punishment. Forced starvation are evil, right? They're morally indefensible. You got to start asking ourselves, how many children have to die in Gaza to atone for the violence of Hamas on October 7th? And we've been so clear, those 1,200 lives, that was evil. But if we are not equally grieved by the 30-some thousand lives that have been taken since October 7th, something's wrong with us. As my brother, my friend, Reverend Munther Isaac says, Gaza has become the moral compass of the world. So this is not just about who Hamas is. This is about who we are. Do we want to be people who tried to defend the bombing of hospitals, the forced starvation of people, the slaughtering of grandmothers and children? We got to be able to say that's wrong. You kill children, it's wrong, whether Hamas did it or the state of Israel. It's wrong. Some things are just, they're unilaterally indefensible. So those are our demands. And releasing all the hostages. We've always called for the hostages to be released. The hostages taken by Hamas and the folks that are now being arrested, many of them youth that don't even have charges or trials or court dates, and yet they're being held by the state of Israel. So the release of the hostages, and this was our demand at Lockheed Martin. We've got to stop giving weapons to Israel. We're arming the genocide. And President Biden apparently in private is saying that he's upset, but we need to see him get upset enough that he's going to stop giving Israel the bombs. We need our religious leaders to be upset. And I'm grateful that several hundred people have now signed on to a statement that's about the dealing of arms and weapons to Israel. Religious leaders, bishops and archbishops and Red Letter Christians and myself, we've been excited to be a part of that momentum. I know that Jesus wept over Jerusalem, scripture says, because they didn't know the things that would bring peace. And we continue to grieve that violence. So to speak out against the violence of October 7th does not make you anti-Palestinian. It makes us decent, moral people to say that what happened on October 7th is wrong. Hamas was wrong, evil. And also to speak out against the violence since October 7th does not make us anti-Semitic or pro-Hamas. It just makes us decent, moral people, compassionate people. As we gathered during Holy Week, it was powerful because, you know, this is a time where we remember during the week before Easter that there is a God who is near to the suffering, near to the poor, near to the widows and the orphans. We remember in a special way during Holy Week that Jesus left all the comfort of heaven to be born as a brown-skinned Palestinian Jewish baby, born in a manger because there was no room in the inn. This is God's act of solidarity with the suffering, coming from a town called Nazareth where people said nothing good could come, and of course being executed on the cross, arrested, terrorized, tortured, killed, hung on a cross. And on Good Friday, we remember that. Ironically, we call it Good Friday because we know how the story ends. And we also know that it's not just about the resurrection, but it's also about the cross. It's about a God who cares so much for humanity that God is willing to die. I don't think God needed blood, but God was willing to bleed. God was willing to stand in solidarity. And what happened on the cross, y'all, is God made a spectacle of violence. Jesus put violence on display, sin on full display, exposed all the systems of death to subvert them with love and forgiveness and an empty tomb. So this is the Prince of Peace that we remember every day, but especially on Easter and Good Friday. We remember Jesus, the Prince of Peace, who said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they are the children of God." We remember that it was Jesus who rebuked his own disciples when they wanted to call fire down from heaven. That's their words, call fire down from heaven on the people of Samaria. It is Christ who scolded Peter when he picked up a sword and resorted to violence. And Jesus said to Peter, "You live by the sword, you die by the sword. Put that away." And yet we are still living by the bomb and dying by the bomb. One of the things that happened in that Easter story is that Pontius Pilate tries to wash his hands as Jesus is being killed. This sort of very profound act of washing the blood off of his hands and pretending that he's not responsible for death. So you can't wash death off your hands when you've contributed to the killing. So that was part of our message at Lockheed Martin. We had this beautiful banner that read, "Lockheed Martin, you have blood on your hands." We wanted to name that they are complicit in the violence happening. They are arming, making the weapons that are being used to kill so many people. Ironically, check this out, y'all. When we got to Lockheed Martin, they had covered up their corporate signs at the main entrance of their building. These large signs that were now covered with blue banners and wrapped in duct tape, literally making our point for us that you cannot hide, you cannot wash your hands and pretend that you are not complicit in this violence. So you can't make this stuff up. I mean, there we were. So we carried the banner, you have blood on your hands. We also made a banner on Good Friday that had the numbers on it. It said 32,000 killed, 13,000 children killed. And then it said 74,000 have been injured. And we invited the kids and everybody to dip their hands in red paint. And we put our handprints on the sign. Even my little boy, y'all, was there. He's 12 weeks old, Elijah, and little Eli. I put his handprint on that banner in solidarity with the babies in Gaza. So we left our handprints, and many of us left that red on our hands to remember that we do not want to have blood on our hands. We want to stand against this violence. We want to stand against the complicity of our government with this violence. So, I mean, even in the days since we've held the vigil, we've seen the bombing of the Al-Shifa hospital, we've seen Israel bomb the Iranian embassy in Syria, and these are weapons made at Lockheed Martin. So we were saying, and we are still saying, no. Even as some of our fellow Christians try to defend this violence, we say no, not in our name and not in the name of our Savior. As many folks are trying to bless the bombs, we're saying no. One of the banners at the vigil said, "Who would Jesus bomb?" And I think we know the answer to that. You can't love your enemies and simultaneously slaughter them. I mean, scripture even says if your enemy is hungry, feed them. If your enemy is thirsty, give them something to drink. There's no way that any Christian can defend the collective punishment, the forced starvation of people. So it was a diverse gathering, y'all, at Good Friday. On Good Friday, we had people of all faiths and no faith in particular, but who came because their conscience compelled them. We had kids everywhere. I told you my little baby was there, Elijah, and there were strollers. There were kids playing drums. There were teenagers sitting on the Lockheed Martin sign with their feet dangling, and there was a banner next to them that said, "Let Gaza live." It was a beautiful spirit about it. There was drumming and singing, and we heard all kinds of wonderful speakers. Many of our Palestinian friends shared what it means to them to see so many people raising their voices. It was a holy time, y'all. One of the shirts that we had made that you can still get on our website, we made it for the Good Friday vigil, though. It's the iconic image of Jesus with his mother Mary holding his face. And next to it, there's a more recent image of a mother in Gaza holding the face of her child. And on the back of that shirt, it has the words of Jesus: "Whatsoever you've done to the least of these, you've done to me." And it's a reminder that whatever we do to the least of these, what we do to the children in Gaza, we do to Christ. As we force them to starve, we're doing it to Jesus. As we don't allow in clean water, we refuse to allow in clean water. It's Christ that goes hungry. As doctors are being forced to amputate without anesthesia, to deliver babies without anesthesia, using cell phones as flashlights, we are doing this to Jesus. Lord, have mercy on us. So it was a sacred procession, y'all. I think liturgy can be taken into the streets. And it reminded me, some of the liturgical services where we do the Stations of the Cross, but this was different. We had our liturgy in the streets at the entrance of Lockheed Martin, and protest when it's done right can be a form of prayer and worship and public lament. So we carried the signs and banners, and we made our way to Lockheed Martin. We carried, we had some signs that had photographs of the devastation and the shattered lives in Gaza, and each one of them had branded on it, "Made in the USA." And we also carried the names on black signs in white writing. It had the names of all the children that have been killed in Gaza, thousands and thousands, many of those 13,000 to 16,000, we don't know because so many are still missing under the rubble, but those children's names that we know we carried, remembering that they're not just numbers, but this is someone's baby, and this is a child made in the image of God. And as we carried those names, we crossed over to the property of Lockheed Martin. There's a big blue line where you can't cross over. You go off of public property and onto private property, and many of us have been prepared prayerfully and been trained in nonviolence to go onto the property. And and we crossed that blue line. And as we did, we were given a warning by police that we were trespassing and could be arrested. And the folks holding the names laid down. And this was so powerful. They held the names of the children on their chest and they laid on the ground, the rich tradition of die-ins at direct actions like this. And others of us began to sing. And we sang, "We Shall Overcome." We sang, "Down by the riverside, I'm going to lay down my sword and shield. I'm going to lay down my bombs and guns down by the riverside." We sang, "Turn me around. I ain't going to let Lockheed Martin turn me around, turn me around." We said the Lord's Prayer, which also had a new ring to it as we were being arrested for trespassing. And we said, "Forgive us our trespasses. We forgive those who trespass against us." But it was powerful, y'all. We had roses laid out, and kids and adults began to carry those roses and place them on the names of the children. The whole thing was a liturgy of lament, but it was also a declaration of the Easter message that death does not get the last word. Come on, somebody. The tomb will be empty. You cannot kill love. Love will rise again. So that was our message. And as the police arrested us, I had reminded everyone of the words of Dr. Martin Luther King, who once said that, that there's nothing wrong with a traffic light, which says you have to stop for a red light. But when a fire is raging, come on, when a fire is raging, the fire truck goes through the red light and normal traffic had better get out of the way. Or when a man is bleeding to death, the ambulance goes through the red lights at top speed. And I think Dr. King would say with us that there is a fire raging in Gaza and we need brigades of ambulance drivers who will ignore the red light of the current system until the emergency is solved. That's why we were willing to go to jail. That's why we were willing to put our bodies in the way of the flow of weapons that are killing so many people. Dr. King also reflected on how he was initially troubled to go to jail, but then he looked at history and saw what good company he had. All the great saints that have been arrested, including, you know, of course, our sweet Lord Jesus was arrested on that original Good Friday. So Christians have been making trouble for a long time, for a lot of centuries. Christians have been mischief makers, folks who challenge the systems of death and oppression. So it was an honor for me to go to jail on Good Friday with so many of my friends. And that's why, you know, John Lewis said, when we do the good trouble, we can still smile in our mugshot because we know that we are on the right side of history. I smiled, y'all. I smiled as I took my mugshot. So without a doubt, our children and grandchildren are going to ask us, what did you do when the genocide in Gaza was taking place? What did you do to try to stop it? And I want to be able to say, I want you to be able to say, we did everything we knew we could do. In fact, many of us went to jail. I'll tell my little boy, Eli, you were there, buddy. You were there when we went to jail. It was your first protest, and I know it won't be his last. So it's that which we say, you know, this is a moment where we've got to reckon with ourselves. What would Jesus do right now? What would it look like not just to venerate Dr. King, but to try to live out his message, to live in the great spirit of those war resistors through history? So we are not going to build a better world by killing each other's children. It's time to get in the way of the business of war. And I'm proud to have gotten in a little good trouble on Good Friday as we went to jail with Jesus. That's the kind of work that we do as followers of Jesus at Red Letter Christians. Thank you for listening in, and let's continue to stir up the good trouble. Hallelujah. We hope you've enjoyed this episode of the Red Letter Christians podcast. Too often, Christians have used our faith as a ticket into heaven and a license to ignore the world we live in. But at Red Letter Christians, we believe our faith is not just about going to heaven when we die, but also about bringing heaven to earth while we live. For more information on Red Letter Christians and upcoming events, additional resources, you can go to the show notes or our website, redletterchristians.org. You can also support Red Letter Christians by giving a one-time donation or becoming a monthly sustainer. Just go to our website and click the red donate button. Thank you for being a part of this conversation and for being a part of this movement.